Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Again.
The biggest game.
This game.
What a game.
Magnificent. Unbelievable.
Game on. Getting a head start on the weekend.
Rugby league. That's
what we love. For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Thursday night
Welcome
footy.
Welcome aboard Thursday night footy and a rematch of an absolute, the game of the year about 2 months ago, the Roosters and the Melbourne Storm. Slightly different lineups, but if this game is half as good as the one we were served up at Suncorp previously, we are in for a humdinger of a night. What a week it's been in football. MG, hello to you.
Hello, Dan. How are you, mate?
Excellent. Wendell not here, and I'll touch on that in a moment. Nathan Brown, lovely to have you with us once again.
Great to be back, Dan.
You're seeing more of me than your family.
Oh, well, Charlie keeps on giving me a call looking after me, so keep coming back.
Look how he's buzzed today because he's got the gig at the Warriors, and we congratulate him, but also he knows he's not going to be under the grill tonight like he was last week.
I must confess, he handled it beautifully last week.
I was going to bring the headgear and the bulletproof vest and everything. I was a bit worried about you, Dan.
You're great.
No. But the rugby league cycle is such that was about six stories ago. So since then, we had Anthony Seibold go into lockdown, so he's out for 2 weeks. We had the Broncos at a pub. We had Mary McGregor parting ways with the club. We had Joey Leilua walking out on the Tigers. So, mate, your story...
It is rugby league.
That is...
What's going on with Vijay Leilua?
His family issue, personal issue, has left the Tigers.
Okay.
Just for 14 days, we think, but you never know.
Yeah, okay.
So, but right now, Trent Robinson, I believe, is joining us on the line from the bowels of the Sydney Cricket Ground. Robbo, thank you once again for joining us. Hello to you.
Hey, Dan. Hey, guys.
We've got two very different teams than last time. This is a team you could very much come up against in the finals, but they've got a different look. You've got a different look. What is the main, apart from winning, of course, what do you get out of a game like tonight? What are you looking to get out of a game like tonight?
Well, I think there's you get opportunity for other guys to get prepared to play, you know, Thursday night footy, big game. You look forward to that. They get to wear the Roosters jersey, one for the first time, you know, a couple others for the third or fourth time. So it's really good to get out there and watch them play, and then you want to get excited. You want to go hard in these games. The boys are pumped for this, so looking forward to it.
Hey, Robbo Brownie, mate. Over the last few years, mate, I've watched your teams obviously start the year and just win your share early, and then really build into the season and come out of Origin and finish the years off as obviously one of the best teams, form teams in the comp, and then go on and win. Where do you rate your progress this year compared to the last couple of years, taking away the injuries?
Yeah, it's a hard one to take away, Brownie, because it's been a mix over the last 6 weeks due to those reasons. I really like the foundations that we've built in our game. Some of the combinations are improving now, so I feel like we're in a really good position. Seven games to go. I like where we're sitting.
I love your player first mentality, Robbo, when it comes to Boyd Cordner. You did the same last year with Luke Keary as far as concussion goes. What's the latest with Boyd?
Yeah, Boyd's good. It was really different. Last year we sort of went 6 weeks with Luke straight away, and that gave him time to get ready. Because I feel like we've given Boyd 2 weeks and then we're trying to prep him every week, which is much more difficult. You know, it feels like he's in game week every week. So I think just go radio, pushing out that time so he doesn't feel like he's having to get ready each week for the game at the end of the week was important. So if we extend it by a week more than we should, then good.
Yeah.
So that's why we made the call on extending it out a couple of weeks.
Yeah, great stuff. I was down at Randwick today and spotted someone walking along Pine Street at about 1 p.m.
No COVID breach.
Please,
we've had enough in rugby league.
His AirPods in. I just want to know what he was listening to. What were you listening to?
Oh, it was Robbo.
Yes.
Yes, it was me. I was walking back home from work and listening to, I got a fantasy draft, NFL fantasy draft.
I thought as much.
listening to the guys for some tips.
Fantastic. I thought you might have been listening to Joe Rogan or someone.
What?
No, no, not this time.
How good's the Joe Rogan podcast? Oh. What do you listen to, Rob? Apart from NFL Fantasy Draft podcast, what are your go-to pods?
Yeah, so some of Rogan's stuff's really good. I go to, there's some other sort of Michael Gervais type, who's a Seattle Seahawks sports psych and done some stuff with Mick Fanning and those crew. They're good. Yeah, there's a, and then there's some the more one-offs. There's a, you know, I was listening to a sleep one the other day from Narm Baldwin, our guy. So there's all different ones that are of interest. They're a great way now to take in information.
Well, while we're on it, what's your favourite music to listen to while you walk, you're strolling along Randwick?
Well, mine's Eddie Vedder. I always go to that game day and Gang of Youths.
Oh, see, yum. I always aim MG when we do one of these interviews. Let's not make it run-of-the-mill cookie cutter.
Yep.
I think mission accomplished because we found out something about Trent we didn't know. Good luck tonight, mate.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Robert. There he is. Bye, mate.
And I always think coaches, you would appreciate this, Brandy, coaches, players, when you're not being asked the same boring questions
It is much better to get the left fielders right than just the standard same one all the time. Yeah? You can pretty much go to a press conference, you know the same one's coming, completions, handling, and so you get a few left fielders as always.
That's it.
Well, just before while we're on that, just quickly, the boss of Penrith, Dave O'Neill, this week said after Ivan was given the fine, he said we want press conferences now 24 hours later. What's your stance on that?
Well, one thing that when I was a young coach, Peter Douse educated me was on the business side of things, and if people are paying a lot of money, they certainly do deserve an element of access, don't they? And if fans in that and Fox are going to pay the dollars, they're probably entitled to after the game. And as coaches, I've said some things for after games where I've had my time again. I thought, geez, I wouldn't have said that, but you've got an element of what you've got to give because the game's financially rewarding for all of us. So there's an element you actually have to sacrifice to do that. And we've just, at times, we need to be a bit better, I suppose.
We've got newspaper writers, right? They need to have quotes. And also, the actual rights holders, Fox and Nine, are now actually going. I know Fox on Fridays and Saturdays, they'll play the press conferences of the second game. So there's actually now, this is the worst time to actually call for no press conferences because there's actually a financial value to the press conferences.
Plus all the sponsors behind the coach.
Exactly right.
Getting their brand out.
I mean, how hard is it not to say the game was managed? I mean, that was a very loose attempt to divert.
I think Ivan, in retrospect, would have thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I didn't need to say that word. Because he said it in such a calming way that I think he kind of surprised himself that he said that.
Yeah.
Because he didn't say
I agree. I don't think he's gone out of his way to have a go at the ref.
I
just
don't
sort of fell out that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the worst thing was, it wasn't ranting and raving and they didn't lose. So it actually sounded calculated the way he said it. It actually gave it more credibility. What came out, you couldn't go, oh, sorry, I was emotional. Because it actually sounded measured. Point here to make why Brownie is here. Wendell very sadly lost his mum over the last few days. She's been battling illness for quite some time, and the saddest thing is that in the times we live in, she lives in Queensland, and he couldn't be with her in her final day. So that, I know a lot of you have gone through the same thing over this COVID period. So you would know exactly what it's like. Wendell's gone up to Queensland now for the funeral, and obviously he's going to have to do his isolation and quarantine, so we're not going to see him for a while. He's going to do some shows.
Yep.
So Dead Set Legends, I think he's still doing from up there in Queensland, but yep. We wish nothing but love for Wendell. I know he'd been doing it tough the last couple of weeks, but very sad news.
Well said, Dan.
All right, let's look at this. Is a good game, Brownie, but Melbourne... No Cam Smith and no Munster. This is the type of team that could live without one of them, but you live without two of them, boy, it makes it hard.
Yeah, well, both the sides, if you look at the history in the past sort of 5 years, you know, the Storm probably had a fraction of the wood on Melbourne. And then, you know, what we can't underestimate is the Roosters' decision to take Cooper Cronk from the Storm. However that unfolded, I don't know whether it was they approached Cooper or Cooper, I don't know. But that decision then gave the Roosters the wood on the Storm. Not only did they sign one of their...
They took one away, but got
they took one away. They also took an assistant coach away as well. So assistant coach had been there for 10 years. So the outstanding recruitment by the Roosters, they bring not only the one of the two or three most influential players of the Roosters, they also bring a coach that's been there for 10 years.
Adam O'Brien.
So, you know, those recruitment decisions then help probably take the Roosters from probably being the second best team in the comp to the best team in the comp. And if you watch the last 2 years, they've had some outstanding football games, but in the main games, the Roosters have got the money.
Yep.
This year, I think the Storm at full strength have improved their squad because their middle bench could actually compete better with the Roosters. At the moment, both sides have got plenty of injuries. I see the Roosters winning because I just think Keary's at the moment is, in my opinion, the best player and most influential player in the game. And the two most influential players for the Storm are Munster and Cameron Smith, and they're not playing. So I just think the Storm might just fall a fraction short of the Roosters because of that reason tonight.
And it's probably more important for the Roosters, frankly, MG, because Melbourne are flying high. And they're going to finish in the top four. Now, if they can finish in the top two, so much the better. Although home ground advantage is not as important this year.
No.
But the Roosters, they're fourth.
Yep.
They've got a wonderful forward against, so they've got a mild buffer, but they can't afford to drop too many games from here on in. So this is a game they sort of have to win to just keep Canberra at bay.
Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. And look, they've been solid without being spectacular, the Roosters. I must confess they are a better team with Boyd Cordner in their side, and the first two games of the year will dictate that that's probably a true sentiment, because they lost their first two games when he was out. But he provides so much. He's just the heartbeat of not just the Roosters but New South Wales, and everyone who plays with him loves him. And you know, him being out tonight is massive. I get what you say about the two cams. So that is, you have Smith out and then you have Munster out, you kind of look at that team and go, woof, I don't know. But I just feel something in the air tonight.
Okay.
I feel like it's the Storm's night. I think that someone like a Jerome Hughes and Brendan Smith, we know what he's like. He's just like a block of cheese. He just goes all day. But I just think that, yeah, I don't know. I've got something in my loins that says that...
In your loins?
In my loins.
You scare me when you have something in your loins and you look at me like that with those bedroom eyes. Don't touch me.
Are they silk?
Don't touch me, for God's sake. Melbourne changes here. Roosters have got some as well. Brinko Lee comes back into the Storm outfit.
So yeah, after a broken hand, yeah.
Tommy Eisenhuth goes back to the bench. He'd actually been pretty good in the centres. He's a natural forward. Lee in jersey 21 and number 16, Albert Vette, is out. Roosters, this is interesting. Ryan Hall has been left out. I'm not sure if that's injury or not, but on debut, Christian Tuipulotu will make his debut. So we haven't seen Christian yet. Geez, they've debuted a few, the Roosters, in recent times. Max Bailey, Daniel Fifita. So they're certainly sharing things around. Will start in jersey 16. And Lindsay Collins goes back to the bench. So that's the Roosters outfit, those teams there, for this first game of round number 14. It has been a massive week of news, and that's even by rugby league standards. And we'll give you a grilling if you want, Brownie. I mean, I don't know what there's left to ask you. You've done every media outlet and answered all the questions, but, I mean, you can...
Well, I think
he's going to be disappointed if we don't grill him.
I think the follow-on from this exact time last week would be, when did you know?
Yeah.
When did he know?
Yeah, did he lie to us?
Did you know you were sitting here after... Well, Dan...
Excellent.
Dan was two-thirds, I was a third.
I was trying not to fib, Dan, but...
Oh, you're a bad lot, you mate.
It's kind of what you didn't say.
It was pretty obvious. When I was driving, just before I walked into the...
Oh, wow.
Up here... I got a message, blah, 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 and I went, we hadn't told our children at this stage.
Oh.
So my kids are texting me wife. They're getting messages from their friends at school saying, is your dad coaching the Warriors next year? So we'd planned on telling the kids on Friday when we're all at home together. So
not in rugby league, mate.
Yeah, so not in rugby league.
How old are they?
17, 15 and 12 are my daughters. They're all coming tonight. They've all gone for a little wander and something to eat and a bit of shopping.
Cool. Beautiful.
And my son's nine.
What's this call?
My son's nine.
Your son's nine. Okay. Are they all coming? Is the 17-year-old coming across to Auckland?
Oh, no. We all travel together. Yeah, we're not sure if we're going to Auckland. Redcliffe, possibly. That's a good possibility.
Are they comfortable with... I mean, that's you're pulling kids out of school. This is the life of a rugby league coach. Yeah, I get that. But that's still a...
Bit of a punish for them.
Yeah, my 17-year-old, she started a tent school this year. So she's in year 12 now, so she's really, really wants to move. My middle daughter, Annie, she's in year 10 now, going into year 11 next year, so a new school for her next year would mean school number 10 as well, so
jeez,
they're certainly very 10. Well travelled. Yeah, so, which is, it's obviously some people would say that it's not good, but the experience they've had in, like, the wife brought some pictures up in England where we looked over the snow and the kids got to do that type of stuff in the villages there, and then you go to Merriweather, where the beautiful beaches of Merriweather, and then Auckland's a beautiful city. So they're great life experiences that not all kids get to...
That's a great way to look at it.
That's so that's how we sort of look at it. You know, but we also understand that it is a little bit unsettling from at times as well.
Okay, I think the only thing, MG, am I right in saying this? So we've got to take a break. I wasn't planning on doing this, but you seem desperate to answer questions, so let's... I honestly wasn't.
I'm very desperate, Dan.
How will the Gus thing work? Because I think most people's reservation is Gus is brilliant. He's the best mind in the game. You've got runs on the board as a coach. But with Gus, it always ends in tears at some point.
Yeah, well, mine and Gus's role is quite a different. You know, my part of the business is obviously the running of the first team and the top sort of squad. And Gus's role is developing a centre of excellence similar to what he has at Penrith, and aligning all of, like, the New Zealand Rugby League, Auckland Rugby League, and Warriors, you know, as one entity to help not only provide players and do great stuff for the Warriors, but to provide players for the Pacific Nations and help rugby league in general. So our roles are quite different. But in saying that, my relationship, I've always had a good relationship with Gus. He got me into Origin with him, and he's a good footy mind and someone that's good to talk to about stuff.
Good
and
lobbyist, a great lobbyist.
Outstanding, yeah.
Behind the scenes, you know that you got nothing to worry about. All you got to worry about is your rugby league team.
Yeah.
He'll take care of
it. Well, you can't argue what he has done at Penrith. I know it ended badly.
Mate, all these kids now, the 12 kids who are coming through the pathways.
Well, their salary cap was absolutely stuck.
Yeah, guess who brought them through?
Yeah.
And guess who brought the...
And he got the centre of excellence and that whole...
Through his contacts with Packer.
That's right.
So, mate, he's one of the most... recognisable names in our game.
You get the chance to have him on board.
You don't say, where do I start?
He's got the ability to get those things done, hasn't he? And if you don't get them put in place, well, then you don't have the kids to pick, you know? So it's going to be, if Gus can get that working, how I know the Warriors, not only the Warriors, but the Pacific Nations, it'll be an outstanding thing for the game in general and a great thing for the Warriors' future.
Well, and congratulations to you. We're going to talk about Paul McGregor on the other side of this, and that's the life of the coach. Most of the time you get punted at some point. So it's nice to have a nice, positive story that you get to do it again. Because I know that's what you love to do. Triple M, rocking the footy here for Ream Hot Water and for Maccas. We will talk about what's going on at the Dragons and at the Broncos. My goodness, the stories get bigger and bigger up there, but we'll do that right after this.
Thanks to Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
What a beautiful night it is at the Sydney Cricket Ground. It's amazing to think 4 days ago we had that torrential rain and wind with the Cronulla side playing Parramatta.
Wow. That would take something out of them, you would imagine, too. Like, they both have pretty short turnarounds, and I know Parra play tomorrow night.
Yes.
And that's only a 5 day turnaround. I imagine their week would have been pretty light.
Yeah, did you change training, Brainy, when you had a game like that? And it wasn't just absolutely bucketing down, but they went at
freezing
hammer and tong.
There's so many things in place now for players' well-being in that, and you know, I'm sure that both Cronulla and Parramatta, they would have had a look on, the staff would have had a good meeting on Monday after their recovery and review and had a real good look at where they are physically. And if they thought they were in a great spot, they wouldn't have changed their week. But if they thought it took a bit more out of them than they thought because of the conditions, they'd adapt their week to suit to it.
Yeah.
It's not back in the old days, it just didn't matter. It didn't just get out there and train and
train
run.
Train Tuesday, train Thursday.
And go to the pub.
Go to the pub Thursday night with
you. So now it's so different now.
It's more professional.
And it's why players are playing longer. 350 games. It's like back in the day, if someone played 250, it was a huge achievement.
200 was massive.
Where now 200 is just like another bloke's played 200. Where a bloke gets 300, well, there's a lot of 300s now in there.
Well, 40 all of a sudden.
Yeah.
The big story of the day, Paul McGregor parting ways with the Dragons. He will coach one more game.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I think that's weird. It's unfair on Mary, I think, to make him turn. Oh, I suppose he's got to say his goodbyes to the guys who are loyal to him. And, you know, I think, he reminds me a bit of a staunch character that he wants to go out in his own way. And I just can't believe that. I think as soon as he was taken, the reins were taken from him, i.e., the selection panel was putting around him. There was Flanagan, there was Young, and there was the CEO. There's four of them in the meeting, and how often Mary must have been out vetoed.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like,
well, the very idea that the halves would change every week and Lomax was put into a different spot every week.
Well, how do we know what Mary had control of and what he didn't now?
Exactly.
No, I think Mary going and asking the questions which he's come out, that he's obviously asked 2 weeks ago, which he spoke about himself, I think Mary's done the right thing for himself and probably put the club before himself.
Of course, even what he said today was exactly what he did.
Yeah. Well, let's have a listen. This is what Mary said today. I think this is about the whole selection panel idea.
A couple of weeks ago, I spoke to Ryan about the selection of the team, the panel. I wasn't comfortable with it. As a head coach, you need to select your team. And Ryan took that to the board. They come back that wasn't going to change. When it gets to the stage where you can't pick a player in the position you feel he's right to play, it's probably not the right thing to coach.
Hard to argue, Brownie.
Oh, look, it's just, I think, the Dragons are very supportive of the coach club. They've shown that over history. I think what they put in place, I think, come from the heart and come from the right place, because the last thing I wanted to do was probably depart with Mary, because he's a great fella. He's been at the club for such a long time, but in essence what they've done is undermining the coach. Like, how does Mary go and tell player X that he's not playing if he wanted him in the team, and he's told him a whole different story 6 weeks ago how well he may or may not be going? It's just, it doesn't work. And I'd be very surprised if the incoming coach has people pick his team.
What are those first few days like, Brownie, when your coaching run comes to an end, with sacking, mutual agreement, whatever? Well, what are those first few days like?
Well, Mary, I still remember when I first left St. George. And I'd been at the club for a long time as a player, a coach, and had 6 years there. And, I had a good run at St. George. Like Mary will tell you himself, he's had a good run too. I had a good run at St. George. I got provided with a good opportunity. I was a younger coach, and I was very grateful for my opportunity. But when I got to sit back and reflect on it, when it sort of all finally ended, I got to look back at some things that I thought I did really well, some things that I got wrong, and some things that I did that weren't wrong or right, but if I had me time again, I'd probably do it different. So, I've got no doubt that Paul McGregor, he'll have an emotional night tomorrow night. Today would have been very emotional, because as MG just said, there would have been an element of players there that would have respected and really liked Mary, and you can tell by the way they've been competing. They're not trying, so obviously the group of players have got a lot of respect for Mary. He'll get through the game tomorrow night. He'll have an emotional period. He'll sit back in a few weeks' time and he'll start to reflect on his time at the club, how great it was. And if coaching is what he wants to do going forward, he will be a better coach again for leaving the Dragons. He'll look back at things that were great, some things that weren't, and he'll freshen himself up. And the next person that gets Paul McGregor will get a coach who's going to do a great job.
Could the Warriors get him?
Oh, well...
As an assistant.
I was talking to head coach. Well,
they got their job a week ago. You're punning him already.
No, as an assistant.
I've worked with Mary before, and I'd certainly work with Paul McGregor again.
100%.
Yeah, he's great to work with. He's a great footy man.
Yeah.
And there's no worries about him doing the wrong thing by who he's working for. Yeah. As you can see, by the way, he's departed the Dragons.
Yeah.
He's left there.
Class.
He's left there. He knows that at the end of the day, what the club put in place... He knows what that come from the right place, and the club wanted to help him, but it's not actually helping him. And so he doesn't have any ill toward about anyone, which is a great reflection of the bloke.
It seems like a club that really struggles punting coaches. Now, Wayne Bennett was on the table. That's, again, that was why you were moved on, because Wayne, it's sort of like that was, well, we can't say no to Wayne. And Wayne had his run, and he left of his own accord. And then Mary, who was the coach before Mary?
Steve Price,
that was an axing. But then, Mary, 7.5 years.
I know.
I don't think many coaches have been...
That's an age.
In 21 years, maybe David Waite at the start of the Dragons run. Not many.
Yeah, but Waite had been there, took us to 2 grand finals as well, So Waite had probably had a good 6 or 7 years. But what the Dragons understand is that stability is what helps clubs do well. And if you look at actual... Mary's coaching career, he took over at the time he did, and then coming into his sort of fourth year, the club was really rising well. And they were, had a good shot there 1 year, and then obviously they got some really bad injuries, which really affected them at the end of the year. They got beat by South Sydney by 3 field goals when they had two of their best players not playing. And they lost 2 players during that game with injury as well, or they would have beat South. So they were rising nicely, you know. And then obviously losing Widdop and losing DeBellin had a real effect on their on their planning, you know. So, but the Dragons understand that if you're a club that keeps sacking your coach, well, let's have a look at Canterbury at the moment. So they started off like, look, we all know how good coach Des Hazler is. Desi gets marched out. Now Dean Pay's been marched out. Now Trent's been brought in. Like it just, sometimes you just got to be really, really careful and see how can we help this coach be better. And that's what the Dragons do. And that's what the well-run clubs do. That they give them a chance and they try and put things in place to help. Now, do clubs always get that right? No, one gets everything right. But you just can't keep sacking coaches. And I think what people are really starting to understand a lot more in the rugby league world now and in the sporting world in general is it's sometimes how you can help the coach by the infrastructure. And look at Brad Arthur. Like Brad Arthur was supposed to be hopeless 2 years ago. Yeah. And everyone went and he got the wooden spoon.
Someone said he'd lost the dressing room.
Yeah, but to his credit, Bernie Gurr, he'd made a change which Parramatta hadn't done for a long time where he actually said, no, we're going to stick with this bloke because we know he's got some good credentials. And now look at Brad Nowey. Last year they ran fifth. This year they're in the top four. Where if they had to sack Brad Arthur and put someone in charge, they might have got a worse coach who had a different philosophy and then they start again. So, you know, sometimes the coach needs to go, but sometimes other things need to be looked at as well.
What have you made, MG, of the Broncos over the last week? So since we last worked together, they lost to South and were pretty ordinary, let's be honest. They let in a couple of very soft tries. Then it emerged Anthony Seibold had personal issues, stayed in Sydney. That meant he was out for 2 weeks. Then we had some insidious stuff. I mean, even by Twitter standard, it was pretty insidious, some of the rumours going around.
Yep.
Then he threatened legal action. Then we had details of a lunch that the NRL had to investigate as to whether it broke protocol. It didn't break police protocol, but the NRL is still not convinced that all was above board. It just gets worse and worse. Every week, they just seem to get deeper into this hole.
Every day. It seems to be every day that something...
Pangai, I forgot about Pangai, for God's sake.
Yeah, and look, I with Tevita Pangai Jr., was that one incident a sacking offence? Probably not, no. But I think it's a combination of a few things that have... A, him shopping himself around to, you know, the Roosters and the Bulldogs, asking if they're keen for a back rower. That wouldn't endear yourself to the club you've signed with, I wouldn't imagine. And look, he'd probably... Look, the one thing that you can be sure of in rugby league, that guys with ability get a second chance.
Yeah.
We've seen it so many times with Canberra Raiders players. We're going to see with these Broncos players, in particular, Pangai Jr., will find another club like that. I don't know where to start with them. I think self-sabotaging, they've put the white flag up. the flag's up, and they don't want to compete anymore. They've forgotten how to win, and they're kind of saying, enough's enough. They've retreated, and, you know, that, as a rugby league team, you can't get out in the rugby league field and give 99% because you'll get hurt.
If, before I get your opinion, Brownie, the first thing I thought with Tevita was, isn't this a convenient out for the Broncos in that he's done the wrong thing? He's done the wrong thing a few times. But if that was Payne Haas that did that, they would have found a way to keep him.
Well, look, it's Tevita in Bali.
Tevita in Bali. And it goes to show that you can do the wrong thing in rugby league, but you can't do the wrong thing and not live up to your contract.
There you go.
And if you're not delivering $650,000
worth of playing talent,
if you're having one good game a month and getting suspended every third week.
Yep. And he plays like a frustrated kid, doesn't he? We've seen how good he is.
Is he a selfish player?
Oh, very.
Yeah.
Very selfish. Yeah. And some of the actions that he's done lately are probably bordering on selfish as well, but no doubt that with the right environment and the right coach, he can be a representative player. No doubt. He's just got it. You don't lose ability, do you?
Yeah, no. He's got the talent. I think you're right, MG. I think for Tevita finding the environment that works for him, that's the key.
Yep.
And I'm close friends with Christian Wolf, who coached him at Tonga, and he vouched for him 100%. He said he's got a lot of goodness in him. He just needs to be in the environment that works for him, that's all.
Have you spoken to him yet? Someone from the Warriors spoken to him yet?
No, we haven't.
He hasn't been sacked yet. That's already. He's at breach notice.
I think he's a wing side just to stay at Broncos.
You think he's what?
At Winks odds. Like, oh, it'd be $1.05 to be leaving.
Oh, exactly, to leave. Yeah.
He won't be staying.
And on the Bronx, what I find really, I mean, as coaches, we've got to cop our medicine. We know that before we get in, and social media can throw all sorts of curveballs that aren't true and that, but when people start attacking a bloke's daughter, I just think that's absolutely disgraceful, and something needs to be done about that, because it's just, that is, what Anthony Seibold's doing at the Brisbane Broncos should not be portrayed through what's happening with his daughter. I just think the people that
sickening.
I just think it's nothing more horrifying, especially with the amount of self-harm we've got going on in today's society with young people, and there needs to be something to put in place where these people actually should get thrown in jail, because if you're a coward and you're an ordinary human being on social media, you're an ordinary human being.
Mm.
That's what I reckon. And people that are doing that...
And gutless.
Yeah. And gutless, it's just horrible.
Well, that's the difference between the media and social media is because you can say that the media is lowest common denominator and they can be scum and they can try and dig up... But as soon as the release was put out there that Seibold had an issue with his daughter, he's out for 2 weeks, the media sits back and just leaves
it alone. Oh, yeah.
Like, there is a line.
And plus, the media put their name to things.
Well, that's true, too.
We're talking about people with faceless trials, and I know. I've been there. I've done it. One of my daughters has been involved in something like that. I know. And I'm still going through matters as we speak with it to try and bring this person to justice, because I've had enough of it.
Yeah.
I've had enough of these weak bastards sitting behind keyboards typing what they want to type without any ramifications or repercussions.
Surely
there's some way we can find these... I'm not going to say it, but...
Yeah.
Like, come on.
And that's coaches. We've got to cop our... Because we know that before we get in. Before we jump in, we know that we're going to cop the good and the bad, and you'd understand, you just don't take it personally. But to where they're gone there with some of that, and to the media's credit, as you said, they haven't been going in those areas, which is good.
Well, Pappenhausen the other day said he got death threats.
Yeah.
Because he dared say something about an AFL player who said something about punters. Some bloke had a multi on an AFL game, and this bloke missed the goal. And so he got hammered for missing the goal, and Blake said, mate, don't punt. I'm here to play. And I think Pappenhausen retweeted that, and all of a sudden, death threats come to Pappenhausen. Really?
It's unbelievable. One of my daughters saw some character on one of the things. I'm not on all the social media. One of my daughters said, Dad, some bloke on social media called you Bradbury, Stephen Bradbury, last man standing. Like, that's brilliant, isn't it? Like,
that's actually funny.
That's outstanding. Yeah, it's good humour. It's good fun. And that's how it should be. But when they're using it for those areas.
Yeah.
And on Anthony
Seibold. Well, if some bloke at a pub came up to you and called you Steve Bradbury, you'd laugh.
100%.
You'd shake his hand.
Yeah,
well played, sir.
Yeah. But with Anthony Seibold and the Broncos, with all the things that are going on, I think there does come a time where...
Leave him alone.
And family matters come first, and if departing the Broncos is going to be far better for the next years of Anthony Seibold's life, I think him departing with a nice handshake, having a break for 12 months, reflecting on some things, and then looking to go again is might be his best option as well.
All right, anyway, we'll leave that there, because we've got a game to do, which is not that far away at the SCG, the Roosters and the Melbourne Storm. Triple M rocking the footy for Ream Hot Water, steady, hot and strong. And tell me your Macca story, Brownie. So get into Macca's today. In fact, now's the perfect time. Ooh. Have it sort of dinner for those hot, juicy burgers.
I could do a quarter pounder right now. I could do three of them.
You know, I could do a fillet of fish.
Extra sauce.
What is it about the fillet of fish bun? I find that the best. I'd love a Big Mac, but with fillet of fish buns.
It's the slice of cheese they put in between. They shimmy in between. Like, you don't usually have cheese with fish.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, and
so I don't like the chicken with the cheese, but people go nuts for them.
But when the cheese is on the fish with the tartare sauce.
Oh, the tartare sauce.
Well, when I was going home, Dan, on Sunday after working there with you, and we'd had the big talk about Macca's, and I was trying to convince myself that I'm going to go home and eat something healthy. One of my youngest daughter, Gigi, she's rang me, and I'm not too far from the Macca's out there at Tarrin Point. I was about 5 minutes from her. She goes, Dad, me and Jacko want Macca's. Can you get us Macca's? And I went, oh, shit. Well, looks like I'm having Macca's too.
What'd you have?
I had the grilled chicken Caesar salad wrap.
Yeah.
And I might have snuck a thick shake in there.
Yeah, they're large, very large shippies.
They're very nice, those. Exactly. But when you go to Macca's,
you just
unleash.
Go.
Unleash.
You unleash the beast.
Unleash.
That should be their new slogan. Go to Macca's, unleash the beast in you. Because I get it.
Macca's, you know you want to.
You know you want it.
All right, Triple M rocking the footy, more after this.
Thanks to McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Reynolds. Triple M rocks footy.
Getting you ready here as Triple M rocks the footy. Round 14. And it's another bit. Well, the rounds get bigger and bigger because we are closing in on the finals. Roosters in Melbourne tonight. We've got MG. We've got Nathan Brown. Tomorrow night. What's your 6 o'clock game, MG?
Panthers Warriors.
Go the Warriors.
Brownie's already got his hat on.
Now, what, do you go? Oh, you can't go to those games.
No.
Have you watched
any
intent?
Do you have any input?
No. The coaches are in charge now. Just let them do. They've got. They've still got that glimmer of hope for the finals at the minute, haven't they?
Oh, yeah.
And they're, you know, so if they can cause an upset tomorrow, they put themselves right in the firing line, so they certainly don't need me sticking my bib in.
Playing great footy, to be honest. The last couple of weeks, they're playing real good footy.
And I'm not going to ask you to divulge anything, but have you had discussions about recruitment and that stuff has started, yes?
Yeah, got a bigger one tomorrow, so on the old Zoom. Okay.
All right, very good. Parramatta Dragons is the late game, the farewell for Mary McGregor. I'll note, MG, that after Parramatta, the Dragons have got the 3 Queensland teams. So I think the timing to get rid of Paul McGregor now, you get rid of him now, you don't wait for him to beat the 3 Queensland teams.
Yeah.
You make sure that they're in a bad position.
I think it's a pretty fair mark of Mary, though, because Mary went and had the conversation with them, didn't he? So he instigated it, knowing what games are coming. He could have quite easily waited another 4 or 5 weeks. So he's probably, in essence, leaving after the Para game, and then it gives a young coach like Dino
a bit of
an opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
Cronulla Gold Coast. This is Cogra Saturday afternoon, so we'll be doing that at 3 p.m. On Saturday. Geez, you've got to give the Gold Coast a chance in every game at the moment, MG.
Look, if this game was on the Gold Coast, I would have been going for the Titans. But I think because it's down here, and the fact that the Sharkies played in that quagmire last Sunday, their legs would be still a bit weary, you'd imagine. And AJ Brimson has added so much to the Titans team. Just is such an energised battery, just everywhere he pops up. And
he's quick, isn't he?
They're playing just with that. As soon as Fifita signed, it was evident in their on-game appeal that they were up.
I reckon, MG, if you spoke to someone like Kevy Proctor, who's been there now for 3 or 4 years, I reckon obviously the last few years have been quite tough. He's played his best game of footy the other day for a while.
Yeah.
Contract's up.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, if he's thinking, like, we're heading somewhere now.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's thinking, I'd love to keep, because he's gone for the Melbourne Storm to the coast, and they had a nice little period there under King, but then when King departed, things just sort of kept going in the wrong direction.
Mr. Fasua Malawi,
SASA,
and also
Fafita.
Ash Taylor's playing his most consistent football.
Again, that was his best
Fogarty
day last week. Fogarty's great.
Yeah. I think what the coach has done with him is actually getting to change his role. So the kid he's obviously put in there, or not a kid, Fogarty's not a kid, he's in probably his mid-20s, but he's obviously a genuine half who's
organized.
A reasonably good organiser, and I think he's just, seems like he's relieved Ash Taylor of a lot of pressure, and started the year a little slow, but he's slowly finding his way, isn't he? Which, for the Coast, if he can get somewhere near his best with the players they've got coming, and then a Kevy Proctor finds his way, they're starting to look likely.
You know, there's a real gun, that Kelly in the centres.
He's a good player. North Coast boy.
Well, yeah, bloody oath. Yeah.
He tore the Roosters apart a couple of weeks ago. They almost beat them on his own. North Queensland South is the 5:30 game. South for that one, MG. It is up there.
I haven't seen enough from the Cowboys to tip them. Souths are playing like they're happy. Latrell's playing like he's happy, and that's scary for other teams.
Okay. Souths, Brownie?
Yeah, I'm with MG. The Cows just aren't showing enough at the moment consistently, and Souths seem like they're starting to find some sort of cohesion, you know, with Latrell at fullback, and obviously Cady's seems to be finding his way again too, so for me, I'd have to say Souths.
Canberra, Brisbane. MG, I'll give you 17.5 start, which is what Ladbrokes
give. I'll take Canberra.
Okay. Newcastle Manly, the 2 p.m. game. Do we fear Manly might be cooked?
Well, they've got Thompson and Sirina both back.
Yes.
Finua Blake out.
Yes.
I think Newcastle will beat them, but I don't think it'd be convincing. I think it'd be a tight one.
Okay, and West Tigers Canterbury, Brownie, we're at that on Sunday afternoon. I think Gerds is with us on Sunday. Tigers, geez, they've had their issues too.
Yeah, if you said to me 3 weeks ago, I'd say Tigers sure. But they're certainly their last couple of weeks of footy's not great. Now BJ's walked out. The hooker's injured. He's been outstanding for him. So I'm not sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think they've won, or they've lost six of their last, or five of their last six, and the one they won was against the Bronx.
Yeah.
And we kind of gave them. We all said, "Oh, hail the Tigers! They're back." But that's a false economy now when you look at what the Broncos have done. So, yeah, this is a toss of a coin. The Bulldogs, you can give them one thing. If the Broncos played with their ticker, they'd be top four with the size of the bodies and the ability in that Broncos team.
Mm.
Just quite frankly, the Bulldogs haven't got the cattle. They've got the ticker, but gee, they turn up and play. That's one thing you can never deny them of.
Yeah,
they're like the bad. I reckon they're like your bad relation that comes over for a beer and a barbecue. They just don't go, do they?
No.
They don't go away.
And then
do they?
What he does?
What a reference!
And then when you
they stay like the bad relation. They just keep hanging, don't they? They hang and hang and
hang.
Who
are you thinking of, Brownie?
And when you take and you buy the beer,
100%.
The relative takes a six pack with them home.
But they've had a couple of games this year, the Dogs, where sides have got 12-0 on them or 16-0, and you think, as MG said, they're a bit short, their coach has departed, they've got nothing to play for, and then somehow they come up with something that keeps them that contest a bit alive, you know?
I really liked Faitala Mariner this year.
Yeah, he's had a best year, he's been most consistent year for sure.
Yes.
How do you react, MG? Because you host a lot of parties, little get-togethers at your place. Someone turns up empty-handed.
They don't come. You got to come with something. Just... A tray of food.
What if it's garbage beer? What if it's a six-pack beer?
No, I supply the drinks.
Really?
Yeah, I've got a mate at Celebrations there at Kingswood, Davey Bruce. Yep, Davey, thanks, mate.
The ability of you to turn a normal conversation to poke, it's unbelievable.
For that,
that was outstanding.
I led you into that. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back.
Not intentionally, but...
No, that's all me. That was all me that did that. Triple M rocking a Thursday night footy for Ream Hot Water.
McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.